We come together tonight with an opportunity before us in just a little bit to witness one of the most joyful things that we have in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get to watch and to observe the fulfillment of the ordinance of baptism. You see, baptism is not just a ritual. It's not an initiation rite. It is something that was ordained by God even before Jesus began his public ministry on the earth. It was ordained by God in anticipation and in looking forward to all that Jesus would do. But you remember, he set John, the one we know as John the Baptist, apart to baptize and to call men to repentance. And John was doing that when Jesus came to the point in time in his life set by his Father that he was to begin the public aspect of his ministry. I say it that way because you remember that Jesus had already been receiving questions and answering questions and teaching people even when he was 12 years old. He stayed in Jerusalem, stayed at the temple, was talking with the doctors and the lawyers, and they were amazed at his answers to the questions that he asked and the way he answered their questions. So Jesus had already been working with people, but there came a time when his ministry was to begin in fullness in a public way. And the beginning of that ministry began with the ordinance of baptism. I want you to look with me tonight at that particular moment in time and notice one expression with me about Jesus' interaction with John when he came to be baptized in the River Jordan. Notice with me beginning, please, Matthew chapter 3. We'll read beginning at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Now notice the then expression. Then cometh, in a period, at a point in time, John had been dealing with the Pharisees who had come. John had been answering their questions, and John had been preaching the gospel of Christ in the call to repentance. Then, while John was going about doing what God had given John to do, then Jesus came to Jordan, to the River Jordan, where John was to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. He said at another place, I'm not worthy to take his shoes off. I'm not worthy to unbuckle his sandals. And yet, you're coming to me. You're greater than I am. You must increase and I must decrease. You're coming to me. And Jesus answering said to him, suffer it to be so now. Do as I've asked you to do. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, that is, John baptized Jesus. He did what Jesus asked of him to do. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, as we've read your word, impress it upon our mind this evening. Help us to understand the power of your truth. Help us to understand the conviction that your Holy Spirit works upon our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that it is right for us to do and to fulfill all that you said is right in our lives. Help us, O Lord, now to hear your word in these moments. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. The practice of water baptism as we know it today was something new that started with John. There were baptizings of washings under the law. There were things that were to be cleaned. There were things that were washing. There were utensils. There were foods that had to be washed a certain way. There were actions that were taken. And yet it's obvious if we look in the beginning of the book of John, when John was baptizing in the River Jordan, the Pharisees and those who were aware of these washing actions under the law came to John and said, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? This is different. What is it?" And John went on to tell them that this was the call to repentance, that he was preparing the way of the Lord. I say that to remind you that this is not just a continuation of something that had been done before. There were those who would wash with a rag, wash with old fashioned saying, wash with soap and water. But this was something that John did at the river, and he called men to him, and they came to him to be baptized. And he told them when they came, there were certain things that they ought to follow through, that they ought to do. And there were even some of the Pharisees that came to him, and he said, "Why do you come to me? I won't baptize you until you bring forth fruits. Bring forth a demonstration. Bring forth an example of repentance and change in your life." So you see, what John was doing was not just something that everybody would do, not something that he would do for everybody. This was something unique and something very different. It was something that he was doing as he had been sent by God to do. John chapter 1 verse 26 answered the Pharisees, and he said, "I baptize with water." Why? Because the Father had sent him to do that, to prepare the way of the Lord. "But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. It is he who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And then it goes on down in verse 29, when John was baptizing, the next day he sees Jesus coming unto him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." God sent John to baptize. What we're seeing Jesus come to do is not something that Jesus instituted because he thought it was a good idea. It's something he submitted himself to do because the Father in heaven had said that it was a good thing to be done. It was a right thing to be done. And when Jesus came unto John, he said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And I want you to notice that when Jesus was baptized later on in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus was concluding his ministry on the earth, when Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, we're told that Jesus said unto his disciples that they were to follow on and to continue this call for repentance. Notice that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." You see, it was given unto the disciples. It's given unto the church to baptize those who follow Jesus Christ in a step of faith and a step of repentance. I want you to notice that Jesus was questioned by John because Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was God come in the flesh. Jesus was the one whom the angels had acknowledged when he was born. Jesus was the one that had been sent, that John was to prepare the way for. And yet Jesus said that it was right for him to be baptized. What I want you to note, and there's a lot of things I don't have time tonight to get into to a number of different questions, but what I want you to notice is what we're going to witness tonight, what we're going to participate in tonight, what we're going to do, and I'll tell you, after 48 years of trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's still one of the most thrilling and one of the most joyous things I have the opportunity to do. Why? Because it's a walk of faith, and Jesus said, it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. What I want you to understand is that doing what we're going to observe tonight, water baptism, is a part of God's righteous living. It's something that we're called upon to do. Now, Jesus, understand, Jesus' situation was a little different than yours and mine. John called men to be baptized in repentance. Well, guess what? Jesus didn't have anything for which to repent. Repentance is a turn and a change from turning from sin to following after the Lord. Jesus had never had any sin. Jesus had no nature of sin within him. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit in a virgin. He did not have the nature of Adam within him. He had the nature of his Father God in him. Jesus was already one that was perfect in what he had done and what he was doing. God the Father said of him, even after he was baptized, "This is my beloved Son." And he said in another place of him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And yet Jesus was willing to submit himself to do the Father's righteous command. It behooved him. That word that's translated from behooved, as behooved, translates from a word which means to tower up, to be conspicuous. It was right that it be a public thing. It was right that it be a conspicuous act. It was right that it be a conspicuous submission to the will of the Father in heaven. It behooved him. It was right for him to be seen. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, if it was right that Jesus be baptized to be seen as obeying the Father in what is righteous in God's command, then I would say that you and I need to understand, brothers and sisters, that our obedience in the walk of water baptism is what's right to obey the Father. I hear a lot of people in the world today say, "Oh, I don't need to do that. I can believe in God without it." Well, yeah, you can. But if Jesus linked this act of water baptism as part of fulfilling all righteousness, then we can't fulfill all righteousness if we make excuse and say, "Oh, but I don't need to do that." Jesus was willing to do what the Father had said to do. You see, that's the first thing that I want you to understand tonight about this act of baptism. It's not something that is going to, by its very action, get us into heaven. Water baptism is an answer of a good conscience toward God. That good conscience is one that rests in Jesus Christ, not one that rests in what it has done. That good conscience is one that says, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ has washed me and made me whole. I will follow Him. My conscience is clear before God because I rest in Christ. Doesn't make us perfect. Doesn't make us sinless here in this world. A man named Ananias baptized Paul. Paul was baptized. He received his sight, the scales with which he'd been blinded when he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. Those scales fell away. But that same man said, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, the things that I know that I ought to do, I don't always do them. The things that I ought not to do, I do that too often. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ. You see, folks, our good conscience rests not in something that I do, not in how I'm able to do it. It rests in the sovereign work of redemption and regeneration in Jesus Christ. It's an answer of my conscience that's cleared by the work of Jesus. I'm still a sinner, and it still grieves my heart, just like it did Paul. And yet even Paul was a man who rested in Jesus. Paul had been baptized. Paul didn't make it his full work to be sure that he baptized a lot of people, because he told the church in Corinth, he said, I'm glad that I didn't baptize all of you. I only baptized a few. And he named some of the ones. So it wasn't something that Paul understood that he had to do in order to populate heaven. But it was something that he called upon men to do in following Jesus Christ. Why? Because it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And it's right that we do it publicly. It's right that we do it conspicuously. I want you to notice with me the words that Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, because I understand that some of these words tell us why it's right for us to submit ourselves unto the Lord in baptism. Baptism is not something we do. Baptism is something that we submit ourselves to because God said, do it. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice with me beginning at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the key verse. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You see, doing what God said is right, we're joining ourselves as part of a body of believers. We're saying we're part of the church of Jesus Christ. We are willing to say that we submit ourselves to one another. Why? Why would I submit myself? Because I believe that God has His people who are first of all there to be a ministering, serving body to me in my time of need. People to whom I have the opportunity and minister to serve in their time of need. But I believe that God gives His wisdom to lead and guide us. And I need older, wiser believers who can give me counsel and give me direction and give me help and give me support. You see, it's recognizing the authority of God in His Son Jesus Christ over the church. Jesus is the one that has the preeminence in all things. And when I recognize that that's God's ordinance, it's God's authority, and I submit myself to God's authority, that's part of the righteousness that we are to fulfill, and that is that we submit ourselves to God. We surrender our will to God. We give, I'm not going to let anybody take advantage of me. Well, listen, if you believe that God's going to love you through other people in the way that He loves you to redeem you, He's not going to take advantage of you anyway. He's going to do what's best for you in your life. And the recognizing that His authority is the best thing for our lives, it behooves me. It's right for me to fulfill what He says. If you look back with me as we close tonight, look in the book of Acts for just a moment, in Acts chapter 2. Passage, it has to do with the record of Pentecost. I want you to read with me, beginning at verse 37. One of the more powerfully delivered audible sermons to be preached in the history of church congregations. Peter preached in such a way that day God worked within the lives of 3,000 people. Now you think about that. 3,000 people. A couple of chapters later on in the book of Acts, we find that there were 5,000 people that were added to the congregation. Okay, now with that idea, listen. Chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, what? Jesus Christ. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. God made Him Lord. I hear people say, make Him Lord of your life. I don't have to. God's already made Him Lord. And it's God's authority that is the crux of this issue. God hath made Him Lord, and He made Him Christ. He made Him the Messiah. He made Him the Redeemer. He made Him the Lamb. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We crucified Him." It was our cry of crucify Him. God delivered Him, but they wanted Him dead. They were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted about their sin. Well, now what do I do? Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." I want you to notice it's not your baptism that's for the remission of sins. It's the name of Jesus that's for the remission of sins. You're baptized to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He's the one that gives the clear conscience. He's the one that gives a good conscience. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Repent and be baptized. 3,000 people did. But you see, as the church became more publicly visible, it grew from 120 to 3,120 in one day. Very soon it grew from 3,120 to 8,000 plus. It grew fast enough that there were growing pains. Acts chapter 6 said that there were some things that happened that had to be rectified. It grew to include the Gentiles. But what I want you to see is with every visible manifestation of the church, there remained that same instruction. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, which is for the remission of your sins. We come in tonight as the body of Jesus Christ, but we're given that same instruction. And I would say to you tonight that the words which Jesus gave as He stood before John are words that are of tremendous importance to all of us. Suffer it to be so now. Allow that it be fulfilled. For thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. It still behooves us to do what God said. I'm thankful that Brother Charlie has stepped forth by faith and said, I want to be baptized and follow Jesus. There may be one or more others who are here tonight and know that that's the step that you want. That Jesus has wrought in your heart to know that first of all, you need Him as a Savior, that He is the answer as Lord and Christ, and that's God's place before you. You would desire to take that step. Then suffer it to be so now. And fulfill all righteousness. Remember that as you watch Brother Charlie step forth and submit himself in that work of baptism tonight, that's what he's doing, is fulfilling the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It's not being baptized because Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church says he has to. It's not being baptized because it's just an old-fashioned tradition. Being baptized because it's right. In the sight of God. May we preach that call to fulfill righteousness as a church. May we honor and support that fulfillment by our ministry with and to Brother Charlie and others whom God might send our way. But may we understand that the whole crux of the issue is that what we do is God's righteousness. May the Lord bless is my prayer for Christ's sake. Father in heaven, bless us to understand tonight that you had this in place long before it actually began to be manifested. John was your plan. Jesus was your plan. Paul was your plan. We are in your plan tonight. Father, help us to continue to fulfill your righteousness. Add unto us daily such as should be saved. Convict and convert our hearts. And help us to minister one to another, fulfilling the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. For it's in His name I pray. And amen. We're going to join together and sing a final hymn. As we do, the doors of the Brooklet Church are, again, as always, opened. If you're here tonight and know that this is the step that you too ought to take, that you would come and confess your desire before your brothers and sisters in the Lord to take this step of baptism. Well, I didn't come prepared tonight. That's all right. We can fill this pool up as many times as we need to. If you're here tonight and you know that that's what you ought to do, then you come and let the desire of your heart be made known.